understand what it takes. When times get rough, chips are down, ain't no other way. That's when a mother prays to all them praying moms, staying strong. I say to you, happy Mother's Day. We had it rough again and living in some dark days. Car accidents and foster homes, we had to part ways. I remember all them years, but I let them go. I know my mama sheds more tears than you will ever know. Yeah, learning life lessons, and I won't lie. No more stressing, she stays in the presence of the Most High. My mom prayed and said it's not over. My mom prayed and she got sober and became my rock boulder. Now I'm a lot older, she's still staying strong. I hope you understand the power of a praying mom. Unconditional love that will never end. Always my mom and forever my friend. Yeah, yeah. I could grow wings and fly away. Now it's no thing, my soul sings. It's a brighter day. What am I trying to say? This life's crazy and I'm only a strong man, cause a strong woman raised me. From a baby I was born lyrical, to write this song for the moms who perform miracles. At birthday parties, Christmas time, or when the bills due, mothers make the world go around, and that's the real truth. Around the planet, and man, I can't stand it. We go through life taking a mom's love for granted, not knowing her prayers can move mountains. They saved your life thousands of times, but who's counting? So if you really love your mom, you gotta say it loud. She's only here for a little while, so make her proud. Ain't no drama here, take a bow, mama bears. And if you can, be the answer to your mama's prayers. Prayers, prayers.
Oh, my mama's Mama's prayers.
Bam! There I am. Mama's Prayers by Superman, featuring Melanie Rutherford. Welcome back. You're listening to the Medicine Wheel of Music. My name is Jesse. We got Tone over here. Yeah, baby.
Sorry.
My dogs. Where my dogs at?
Where my dogs at? Hey.
Hope everyone's
let me sniff.
I hope everyone's having a great Sunday morning. 14th, 11 days till Xmas. Here's a little
XXXmas.
Here's a little XXXmas to start things off for. Let's go.
Hey.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all. Come on!
What?
And if you ever saw it, you would even say it goes.
Come on, come on!
All of the other reindeer, you could have to call him names. They never live for Rudolph, joining any reindeer game.
You hear the growling in the background.
Yeah, dude. DMX, baby.
So, I can't tell anymore. Is that AI? Or is that actually DMX?
Well, it's part of the DMX YouTube channel.
Really? So yeah. It actually is him then?
Yeah.
You would think anyways.
I would think. Music video by DMX performing Rudolph. 2021 Divine Bars Productions under exclusive license to Def Jam Recording.
That's legit.
Yeah. Dude. DMX, man.
Because when did he pass away? It was like 2022, 2023?
Did DMX pass? 21. April
also, like the year, the same year then, when he dropped this.
This might have been his last.
Like, you know how.
Like a swan song.
You know how, like, Tupac released music after he passed away?
Yeah, this is a
post-humous. As like Machiavelli or something like that? This is DMX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see DMX come out. Like his last posthumous album.
Yeah.
It's just all Christmas songs and jingles. Like his last hurrah.
Yeah, yeah.
I will always remember him for his Christmas album.
Yeah, the Rough Rider anthem.
DMX MAS.
Yeah, DMXmas.
DMXmas. That's what I'm talking about, dude.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you can.
And this might actually get the phone lines all lit up.
Okay, all right.
I was never really a big DMX fan.
No?
No.
Me neither. I mean, you like the classics, right? Rough Rider Anthem?
Mm, even that.
What?
Yeah, it's even...
What?
Yeah.
Yo, what? What the f...
Like...
What the f...
Rough Rider Anthem, this one's like... Ding,
get out.
Ding, 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 that one?
Ding, 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 ding.
Like... I like the beat of that song, but I just never really got with DMX's like rap style or everything, you know.
What kind of shouts at you a little bit?
Like it's the same thing with like Braun Breaker, you know what I mean? Like he just yells at you,
just yells at you, and you have no choice but to listen.
Yeah,
DMX. Well, he separated himself with that voice of his, right?
Yeah,
and the flow was pretty decent, actually. Like it wasn't a messy flow that he had when he was rapping. So,
yeah.
I wasn't the biggest DMX guy, but I'm actually like his albums, Blood. Flesh for My Flesh, Blood for My Black, whatever his first album was, highly praised by a lot of people. But I mean, that came in a time when people were really accepting of the like newer artists and stuff that were coming out in the hip hop scene and all that. So you're gonna get some ride or dies for sure. You grow up with something like that. Like I said, he stuck out like a sore thumb with that scratchy little gravel voice of his.
I always kind of like put him in the same kind of. And it's probably bad for me to do this, but like put him in the same category as like Mystical.
Okay.
Like Mystical was never really a rapper that I got with either. But at the same time, Mystical, I wouldn't even consider Mystical a rapper because he doesn't really like rap. He just kind of says lines, but they never rhyme. You know what I mean?
Okay, is that true?
Well, like just the songs that I know of Mystical in, like he just never really sings like does like. Prototypical rap songs.
Let's see if he raps here. See if he raps here.
Shake your ass, watch yourself.
There you go.
Shake your ass. Some of us are working with it. Shake your ass, watch yourself. Shake your ass.
Yeah, it's good.
With the mic in my hand. Don't make me leave me with my foot in your be cool. And don't worry about how I'm ripping, what I'm thinking, what I'm flipping. Cause this just what I do. I'm effervescing.
Huh. You know what, dude? I never realized that this guy, this fool doesn't rhyme anything.
No.
Well, not in that little clip it right there, anyways.
And that's his like most well-known one.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Danger, Been So Long, is another song by him. But there's some guys that don't really, that are able to get away with that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But Mystical, I don't think anyone really remembers that dude other than Shake Your Ass, to be honest. So,
but you know what? Actually, a rapper I've really kind of grown to respect a lot more these days.
As
time grows on and everything.
Is he dead?
No, he's alive, unfortunately. but Nelly. Nelly is one that I've never really like I knew all of his like big hits and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really like saw him as like a rapper, you know, even though he is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then so that I kind of started like re-listening to some of his music and all that stuff. And it's like, man, this guy's actually like a really good rapper, you know.
I came across a video not too long ago and he was talking on an interview with someone and he was talking about the music scene now and how it's totally different from what it used to be, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how he was... His gripe, I guess, a little bit was how everyone kind of sounds the same a little bit nowadays. And you can't really pick anyone apart from the other person. Mm-hmm. And he said when he came up, it was the competition was just nasty.
Mm.
And he's like, you had guys like Eminem, Lil Weezy, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent.
Mm.
All these guys that as soon as you heard the voice, you'd know who they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a lot of different. He gave like three or four other names other than those guys. And when I was listening to him talk about it, I thought about it and I was like, absolutely. He gave like six, seven names and they all have a distinct sound to their voice that separates them from the other guy.
Yeah.
And it was hard for him to break in because he didn't have anything overly characteristic about his voice, I guess, other than, you know, the bars that he was spitting, and he said it was pretty difficult for him, even though he was, you know, wildly, you know, successful with a lot of his tracks. But it was a harsh and wild competition back then.
Yeah, but when you think about today's hip hop scene, a lot of like the mumble rappers, they all do sound the same. Mm-hmm. Like if you were to put up like 21 Savage, Lil Yachty, who else is like a pretty
Gunna,
like all, you know, Young Boy NBA or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I couldn't tell you one from the other.
Exactly. You, if you were to throw them all in the same like track listing, and you're like, what's the difference between these guys? You're like,
oh yeah, if they're featured all on the same song,
yeah,
and you're like, that's just one guy,
that's just one dude singing, you know. But like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, like all these guys had.
As soon as you heard them, you knew who they were.
Exhibit, like all these guys had like their own style to them, where it's like the, it seems like the record label companies got rich off of their style rather than the people of the, like the rappers themselves getting rich off of, you know, the studio telling them what to sound like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. So their authenticity is actually what made them money.
Yeah.
Or the producers' money.
Yeah.
Again, Diddy. He did the same bullshit to a lot of guys where he just fed off them, you know, and featured himself in all these videos. I'm telling you, a nice little sit down with your family, you know, get the hot cocoa.
What is it called again? Like, is it just called Diddy? Or Did he do it or something?
No. Puff Daddy, The Reckoning or something like that. Sean Combs. Sean Combs, The Reckoning.
That sounds like a sick, like, that sounds like an album, dude.
The Reckoning.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wait
a minute.
All right. We're a little late here, but better late than never.
Goblin.
Let me get some of this stuff ready real quick. All right. Whether you like it or not, coming at you right here now. This is the weather. Whether you like it or not, coming at you right here, right now. This is the weather. Whether you like it or not, coming at you right here, right now. Of course, brought to you by none other than Goblin Energy Drink. Goblin. Replace your vices with Goblin Energy Drink. Go Goblin Mode. Also, of course, you can get those new Goblin Meat Sticks.
Oof. Deep throw one now.
Put one in your mouth. Play with it in your mouth. All right. Let's see what's going on in the weather. Super cold. Hope you're plugging in. Today, cloudy, 60% chance of light snow, blowing snow in outlying areas. High minus 13 with the wind chill minus 34 in the morning.
Beautiful.
And minus 22 this afternoon. Risk of frost bite.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Tonight, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of light snow, low of minus 15. With that wind chill, though, goes to about a 22. Monday, beginning of the work week, we've got a mix of sun and cloud with a high of minus 10, with a wind chill minus 21 in the morning, minus 15 in the afternoon. Cloud appears in the nighttime with a low of minus 8. Tuesday, cloud in the sky with a 60% chance of showers, which is ridiculous. Windy, high of plus 1.
Wow. Can we say that again? What, on Tuesday?
Tuesday. Cloudy, 60% chance of showers, high of plus 1. Cloud appears in the nighttime with a low of minus 15. That's cool. Wednesday, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries, high of minus 7. Snow and blowing snow at the nighttime with a low of minus 18. Thursday, periods of snow, windy, high of minus 19 and a low of minus 28 at night. Friday, cloudy, 60% chance of flurries yet again with a high of minus 11 and a low of minus 22. Saturday, we got some sun kind of poking out a little bit with a high of minus 22.
Oh, nice.
So Tuesday kind of looks pretty cool with a high of plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a little bit of showers. Hopefully it's only quick, because that will make everything very icy for the whole time.
It's going to be fun.
That bring your skates to work, I guess, if that's the case. Right now, it's 11:14. Sitting at minus 20 right now with the wind chill. Feels like a frigid minus 34. And that has been your weather, whether you like it or not. Goblin.
This is the part where you just...
Gotta unzip a little.
People love this behind-the-scenes stuff. I think they're getting a little piece of something they don't usually want to see. Now I gotta figure out what the next plan is.
Diddy.
You know what? Have I talked about that yet?
No, let's get more. Let's get deeper into Diddy.
Okay, dude. Let's go.
Welcome back.
Hey.
You listen to the Medicine Wheel of Music. My name is Jesse. You got Tony over here.
Hey.
Listen, if you want to hear a track, 774-6877 is the number to call. 774-6877. What else you want to talk about, Tone?
So,
go ahead. Say it. Say it. Don't spray it.
So, while we're on the topic of Diddy and everything, that seems to be like the...
What?
The soup du jour.
You brought it.
The topic du jour. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You opened this can of worms, friend. Yeah,
that sounds good. I'll have that. 50 Cent, he's kind of like becoming known as like, you know, the hip hop troll these days, you know?
Yeah, doing a good job.
He recently, I'm not even sure if it was just recently, but like, and I'm not sure if this is a long going feud or whatever, but he uploaded a picture of Jay-Z.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen on his Instagram, but it's just like this really like unflattering picture of Jay-Z, like a sketch
drawing, right?
Yeah, like a sketch of Jay-Z, you know, those pictures where you get like people get done on like the Vegas Strip or whatever, those what are the caricatures, there you go. Yeah. And yeah, it's a one of Jay-Z, and it just looks really just doesn't, yeah, it's unflattering. And
the lips are big and
yeah, then just like the whatchamacallit,
little hairs,
the mustache just looks
like
terrible.
Yours,
yeah. But yeah, it's just like now it seems like he's kind of focusing his attention now to Jay-Z now.
We got a new doc. Two years later, we'll have something. 2027, we'll have it.
And I made no bones about it that I'm actually like a really big Jay-Z fan. Like I really like Jay-Z. And actually, you know, when you're talking about like all those differentiating different artists and all that kind of stuff. Yep. Jay-Z had his own sound.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment you heard Jay-Z, you're like, that's Jay-Z, you
yeah,
know?
Very true.
And, but kind of like, you know, it's like that saying where you're like, you don't want to meet your heroes or whatever, you mm-hmm, know? Because mm-hmm. like, they're not what you think they're going to be. And I feel like that's the same thing with Jay-Z, where like, I grew up just loving his music, you know? Like, I listened to his albums back and forth, man. I loved his albums. I still love his albums.
What's your favorite? I think I like the later stuff rather than the earlier stuff more.
Well, I mean, like, Reasonable Doubt is probably, like, of course, the big one.
Yeah. But the Breakout, right?
Yeah, that's, like, his first one.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed American Gangster.
Oh, really? The yeah. soundtrack?
It
sounded like a sound. No, I know what you say. It's not an actual soundtrack.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's so heavily influenced from
for sure.
American Gangster.
I actually don't think I've heard that album.
No?
No.
It's actually, it's really good. It has, like, that 70s style kind of beats to it and all that stuff.
Neat.
But, yeah, even, like, Kingdom Come. Like, I didn't really mind that one either.
I bought that album.
Yeah.
It was,
It's not the greatest.
It's not the greatest,
yeah.
But it's good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
The Black Album, of course, is really good, you know?
Front to back.
Yeah, that one is, like, the peak of, like, when I was, like, really into hip-hop, like, as a teenager. Because, like, 2004, 2005, that era of, like, that, man, that... For me, that was, like, golden age hip-hop for me. Because you had Jay-Z releasing the Black Album, you had the College Dropout, you had 50 Cent still of hot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was just, like, man, BET was hot those days, okay. Man. You know what I mean? And that was kind of like also Krunk was also kind of coming out in that same era, you know, Lil Jon and all that. And so like Southern hip hop was just kind of start coming out, you know. So like it was like, man, that was an amazing time to be a hip hop fan.
To be alive,
man, you know. Kids these days won't know, man.
They won't know.
They won't know. They don't won't know 106 and Park, man, you know, watching
that
after school, man, you know what I mean? So
TRL.
TRL. but man, yeah. So but kind of all saying that, Jay-Z, I feel like he has a lot of skeletons in his closet too, you know, where he also kind of benefited some ways with Biggie dying,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, he's a protege, right?
Yeah.
Like coming up with him.
Yeah, so he kind of like springboarded off of his death as well, you know. I wouldn't necessarily say like he's been, was involved or anything like that, but I don't know. I just feel like he's got some weird stuff about him too, you know, where he, especially with like a lot of like the cultish type stuff that's kind of associated with him, with like the rock, like, you know, the hands and all the all the symbolism and all that kind of stuff that's involved with his music.
Stuff and everything.
Yeah. I mean, he's never actually gone out and said that he's a Freemason.
No.
But I mean, like, it's not
Rockefeller man.
Yeah, like the,
Do you make that gesture without understanding that there's something behind that in the first place, and then make that your gesture because you're... I wonder where Rockefeller... Oh, we know where Rockefeller is from.
Yeah, it's a Rockefeller guy.
Yeah, right?
The family.
Yeah. And he's heavily affiliated with that type of stuff too, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
You can definitely pull some threads and find some stuff about that.
The hand signal that he's doing, it makes the... The triangle, like the all-seeing eye type of thing.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, how did he even start that then if it wasn't influenced by something?
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, he wasn't doing the Diamond Dallas Page thing.
No.
You know what I mean?
That'd make more sense.
That would make more sense because it's a diamond cutter.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a diamond, dude. You know what I mean?
Looks like a spade, to be honest.
Yeah. But like his Jay-Z's is more of the triangle.
Yeah. There's no rock.
Yeah.
If that's what you're doing. Jay-Z, do you say this because you've heard that he could be affiliated with things, or is there activity that you have seen or know about or heard that kind of led your opinion in this direction?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, like I didn't necessarily see any videos of, like, it's a...
Yeah.
But it's just, like, being a fan of his over the years, especially when Watch the Throne came out, and they had that music video with Ends in Paris.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever watched the music video to that, but it's just like heavily influenced of, like, you could tell there's like some Freemasonry type of visuals in that video, especially at the end of that music video where it ends with like, so the Freemason logo, it has like that, the chevron pointing up and also the chevron pointing down.
Okay.
So it ends, the music video ends with that logo, but it's like the lasers of the show that they're doing.
Okay.
Kind of making that logo.
Yeah, the symbolism is incredible, eh?
And it's just like...
it's like, why do you do that?
Yeah, and also Kanye West type of influence as well, like where, especially his Power music video. You ever see his music video for Power?
Yeah.
That has like so much like... symbolism. Like pagan symbolism and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, so why are these guys doing this? Like... Is there like some sort of satanic involvement as well? You know what I mean? So
I don't understand it either. Like, say you, like, do you perpetuate that narrative? Like, it sounds exhausting to continuously perpetuate that by saying, "Hey, people think I'm this, so I'm gonna do this with the lasers, and I'm gonna show this on my music videos." Mm. It sounds like so much more work.
Yeah.
To think of these extra things when you can just go out and make your music and make your videos and this and that.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you being told to do this then?
You know? Yeah, it's because it's like, it seems to be like the whole Freemasonry type of thing seems like it kind of started with like later in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like later in his rap career.
Well, that's what happens. You make bank.
Yeah.
And when you start doing that, people that you've never known before with similar bank will come up to you and start, you know, inviting you to things and parties and telling you things that most people don't know about. And once, it's almost like once you're told that stuff, you can't, it's like you can't leave.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, listen, you know something that most people don't know now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of a part with us, you know?
Yep.
So, go keep doing what you're doing, make music, but once in a while, don't forget us.
Yeah.
Don't forget us.
And also, like, the whatchamacallit, like, just the name of his albums, too, like, you could kind of see that maybe when he kind of started getting to the whole Freemasonry type of involvement, or whatever, with the Blueprint, because the Blueprint, like, it has, like, the Freemasonry style of, you know, language or whatever, because a blueprint is something where you plan out, right?
Right.
And that's what Freemasonry is. It's like you're like builders and all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
So, and that's why you have like the Blueprint. That's why it's called that, because he's kind of planning and building all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
And you have the Blueprint.
I've never
one,
thought of something like that.
Blueprint 2, Blueprint 3. You know, so it's just, yeah.
I like a four. I like 444 personally. Have you ever heard that album?
You know, honestly, I've never gotten to that one.
You know what?
I never
dig into
that one.
Yeah. I'll dig into that one. I'll dig into the
American Gangster.
American Gangster. You dig into 444, and then we're gonna come back.
Yeah,
and we'll let people know, the people that don't give a crap. We're gonna let them know.
What was his album? The one that had Justin Timberlake and Rick Ross. That F with me, you know I got it. Which one was that one again?
You know I got it.
Oh, I forget what album that was.
I'm just going to look up Jay-Z albums.
Yeah. Because that album was pretty good, too, actually.
Oh, Magna Carta?
Magna Carta.
So good.
Yeah.
So good, too.
That one
actually
was really good, man.
That was a terrific album. Yeah. Front to back.
Yep.
Again, I'll listen to that all day. Yeah.
But anyways.
Anyways, yeah, he's probably killed people for sure. Yeah. He's probably killed people for sure, yeah. I'm trying to dig into King of the Hill a little bit.
The new one?
Not even just the old one. I've never used to watch King of the Hill. Just
because
the stuff went over my head. I didn't find it very funny.
Yeah.
The Simpsons was more easier to digest at that age, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was a kid, when I'd watch King of the Hill, it was always because it was before Simpsons or Family Guy coming on, you know? So that was the only time I actually, like, really was watching it, you know?
Yeah, so I'm kind of giving it a shot a little bit because we got Disney Plus now, and I've only watched the first couple episodes, and I think I'm gonna crush it and enjoy it for sure.
Yeah.
And a part of it is because I like the idea of them coming back and being a part of that kind of whole scene. And in the first episode, there's this part where Hank walks in to Bobby, and he's listening to a cassette.
No.
And he's like, what are you listening to, Bobby? You know, and he puts the headset on, and it's just like, and it's just a bunch of farts on a cassette.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, kids, you know, what are you listening to? And I remember thinking in my head, dude, like, me and Dustin literally had that same cassette back when we were kids, man. Like, I remember living on Pacific back in the day, and we were downstairs in the basement, and we'd listen to this thing called the fart tape or the fart album. And we would just laugh, dude. Track one, just farts. And track two, couldn't tell the difference from track one. It's just a bunch of farts. And we're just downstairs laughing our asses off, dude.
Do we play it? Do we find it on Spotify?
Have you ever heard something like that?
Honestly, I don't think I have, man.
I don't know if I'll play it because it's very...
Is there album reviews?
So lowbrow.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't even touch our caliber of a show.
I mean, like, this is like high class we're talking about in this show. You know what I mean? We talk about very... specific things on this show that tickles the brain, you know what I mean? So
yeah, dude, I refuse to play anything similar to that, dude.
Crank that again, bro.
So stupid, dude. This one's called Cheese Dog. this one's called Number Two with a Bullet. All right, so that stupid album we heard front to back. This thing's got 99 tracks on this album. we listened to some stupid stuff, man.
There's TikTok accounts that's like dedicated solely to just guys farting. There's even TikTok accounts of like
girls,
beautiful women farting into big tubes, and it makes like this really loud effect. You know what I mean? So, and it's hot.
My rap
bro.
Name, Big Tubes.
Big
buddy.
Tubes.
yeah. You'll find me there.
Yeah.
You'll find me on there.
But there's like on the videos of like the girls farting or whatever. You have like guys commenting in there like gifs of like people breathing it in. You know what I mean? Or like sucking
Jesus
the air. You know.
What
I mean?
We're animals.
Animals, dude.
We're such pigs, dude.
Animals.
Men are pigs.
Yes.
And that's what I want to make sure everyone understands that.
Exactly.
Today.
This show is dedicated to all the women in our lives.
All the women.
Because we love y'all.
I love y'all, man. I love y'all, dude. We used to listen to that. We also used to listen to Simpsons Sing the Blues, actually, was another one that
I think
we
I might have heard
to.
Of that one.
We listened to that one.
Yeah.
The stupid stuff we used to listen to. And then we put it on when CDs were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We would just burn it onto CDs and listen to the same crap.
Beautiful, man.
Quite literally. good times. That's the 90s, man.
Yeah.
That's the 90s.
I was thinking about, like, Have you heard of like the whole Netflix buying WB and all that?
Well, I heard that was the initial plan.
Yeah.
Right?
But then like Paramount is stepping in.
Paramount came back and put like $100 billion on the table or something. They're like, no, dude, this is ours.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's what's the final number or the final destination.
Who's actually going to buy it? So one of the main things I heard about the whole Netflix buying out WB, and a lot of people were kind of upset about that, and I wasn't quite sure exactly why until I realized WB is like one of like the biggest, like, you know, releases a lot of movies and all that stuff. You know, of course everyone knows that, like, they release like Batman, one of my favorite movies series currently right now is Dune.
Okay.
The Dune series is under WB. And so there's a lot of fear that once if Netflix does get a hold of WB, it's just another like nail in the coffin for like theaters, like movie theaters.
Oh.
Because WB is such a, you know, releases a lot of these movies into theaters.
Oh, I see.
And so if Netflix were to buy WB, the screen time for a lot of these films that Netflix would have or would create with the WB company or whatever production company would probably be less than what they would get in the theaters currently.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And also, because Netflix is a solely streaming service, that would pretty much mean the death of physical media that WB would create, you know? So 4K movies, Blu-rays, DVDs, and all that kind of stuff, which is already dying already. But like I myself have gotten recently into purchasing physical media because, like, say Netflix just says, oh, you know, we don't want to put the Batman series onto Netflix, you know, when we want to have it on there for 3 months of the year or whatever, you know? And it's like, okay, well, how can I buy it then? Well, it's like, well, Netflix owns it. They're not going to release it. They're not going to put it on Blu-ray or 4K, you know? So it's like, we won't own anything if they were to go ahead with this, you know, whole merger or whatever, this purchase.
And that and the complete opposite would happen? If Paramount were to take this in?
I mean, that you would think, because Paramount is also involved like in the movie theater business and all that kind of stuff, they would still have like the... You would think that they would have the decency to at least release physical media and all that. So it's... And the reason why I say that is because we're talking about hip-hop and everything, and how there's one album that 50 Cent released as like a mixtape. It was supposed to be his like debut album, The Power of the Dollar. I don't know if you ever heard of that album.
I heard of it,
yeah,
but I don't know too much about it.
So it was like that album was actually supposed to release right like the date, like I think the week before he got shot nine times.
Okay,
so he got shot and then they just canceled it, and they just canceled that whole album even though it was all finished and ready to go. And so they never released it on like on CD or anything like that. So the only way you can get it is like bootleg.
Huh.
And it's like, man, like, because they don't have it on Spotify because it's never officially been released,
right?
You know, and the only way you can actually probably do that is just probably to like torrent it, or you know, to download it online and actually physically burn it onto a CD. Yeah. And so I was thinking about like, man, like if Netflix were to buy WB, and it seems like everything is just turning to monopoly now, where there's only like three companies that own everything, and I would imagine that like if they were to not sell physical media anymore, man, physical media would become like a almost like a black market type of thing, where people would start burning stuff again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true that.
Because like, who else would release it? You know,
we would revert back
to bootlegging and burning that. Stuff. You know what
bootlegging.
I mean? Yeah.
Imagine being like on the black market.
Yeah.
Like, what's the word? What's the bad internet?
Oh, the dark web?
Yeah. I'm just a child.
Yeah.
What's the bad internet? You mean the dark web, you idiot? Yeah. Can you imagine searching that?
Yeah.
And you're looking for, like, Grinch. Grinch or something.
Yeah, I want to find SingTube. Meet me on this corner.
I got to scroll past all this, like, death and, like...
Beheadings.
It's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, neighbor shot in the head. Well, yeah. Well, I don't want to see that. I want to...
Oh, good. Rocky 2. Here, good. This is what I want. Yeah, I hope it sticks around, man. And I think it all eventually reverts back to, like, people are picking up vinyls all the time, too, nowadays.
Yeah.
You can almost find more nowadays than you... Well, not than you did before, but... It's probably at one of its highest in terms of like the last 10, 20 years, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Let's go into a little bit of music. We got about a little less than a half hour left.
I have a track here that I would like to hear.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily a track that we've been, that our show has kind of like been, you know, the vibe of it.
Okay.
Remember the last time we were here and I wanted to hear a track? It was actually a couple weeks ago or maybe a couple shows ago, where it was a soundtrack song for Tron.
Yes.
And so like there's another movie that I've been like really into lately. It's a Brad Pitt movie called Babylon. Have you ever heard of that movie?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And so that movie is like just like crazy, you know, the roaring 20s full of excess and just crazy film. And one of the tracks on there, it's called The Voodoo Mama. It's just like, it's such a...
From Babylon.
From Babylon. Yeah.
Voodoo Mama?
Yeah.
From Babylon?
Yeah.
Justin Hurwitz?
Justin Hurwitz, yeah. He's the composer. So that one, if you could... Cue that one up.
You know what, dude? I'm going to play it right now.
Yeah. Can we just play that instead? All 99 tracks.
This is a little bit of Voodoo Mama, man, from the Babylon Original Picture soundtrack. Yes. Okay? You're listening to CK Dub. We'll be right back.
or die as the fly down low, lyrical Van Gogh. Stay international with the ill adios, money making flows. Pesos from Mexico to European ends and yens from Tokyo. Amen for the years that we rock skid row in a trash bungalow, trying to juggle our flow. But you know how the struggle go, life moves slow, yo. Plus it's extra hard when you got no dough. But we strive on, mentality stay strong. Dropping bombs on the world from Northwest Saigon, leaving a Babylon. DEFCON 1, watch them run. The heart is wicked and judgment soon come. In the bottle, like Robinson Crusoe. I can't feel the warmth of the sun. I'm like Pluto, so I open seven chakras, break the seven seals, bust the dope with poetry rhyme, just like Khalil Gibran. I bring the dawn to Decepticons instead of the dreaded fist with misfit and red wand. I used to read the Psalms and a holy Quran. Now I only read the birds and the trees. Then I'm gone like a breeze on a summer day. Never run away from the judgment day when Armageddon comes. See, if I had 24 hours to live, here's what I do. Make everybody know G.O.D.'s inside of you. And spread love from Cologne to Kalamazoo. Cause no matter how many you call, the chosen are few.
In Paris they want it. And I'm gonna be there. I hear Hindus calling. And I'm gonna be there. In Japan they're crying. And I'm gonna be there. Spreading the vibe. All over the world.
Y'all with this one, words of the drum, vocalize my lingo, let you all know where I'm from. Conscious of what goes round the world, from tours that we done, but still we sticking to the hip hop constitution. For elements we taking it, but that we making it. Honeys be shaking it, my vibe relating it to the DJs round the world. You can't unspin this in your cipher, and you're sure the number one spot in my category. Y'all be my heart, so pump that shit for me through the inner city so they can bug off the ill hip hop, the rascal crew, and you know we just don't stop, so take it to the top and rock the world with the hot onslaught. You can't leave, cause the rhythm I'm rhyming got your car.
Mother Africa wants me, and we're gonna be there. London City's calling, and I'm gonna be there. West Indies love we, and we're gonna be there. Spreading the vibes all over, all over. Brazil, I hear you calling. Shiddly, diddly, 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 shiddly, shiddly.
Top of the World with the Rascals featuring Barrington Levy and Chaos. Welcome back. You listen to the Medicine Wheel of Music. My name is Jess. We got Tone over here.
That's a Canadian all-star lineup of hip-hop right there.
Truly, man. Just missing Cardinal.
Yeah.
And Shaw Claire. You know, all the best in the world. Can you imagine being in the studio and they're like, listen, we need some words for this next part. Yeah. How about like hiddly biddly diddly diddly biddly? And they're like, wait, let me turn the beat on for that.
Whoa, hold on.
Hold that thought.
Do that again.
Do that again.
Yeah. Run that back.
Skiddly, biddly, diddly, boodly, boodly.
Damn. God damn.
Yo, I would just come out with a whole album of that. Scatman comes out.
Scatman comes out. This changes the world.
rocks the world, turns it on its ass,
flips it over.
That's Scatman John. Smacks its ass.
Flips it over, just
smacks the world on its juicy ass. All right. Hope everyone's enjoying their Sunday morning. We got about 15 minutes left. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. Hope everyone's warm and bundled up. Christmas just around the corner. You won't see us. You won't hear from us till well after Christmas. It'll be the 28th, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, I was on the way here. I was like, oh, man, are we not going to have a show like Christmas? But then I was like, oh, wait, Christmas is on the Thursday. And then Boxing Day is on, whatchamacallit, on Friday, which is good for everyone because they can have that extra long weekend. And but yeah, no, 28th, that's when kind of life goes back to normal.
Yep.
Well, not necessarily back to normal, but in that strange period between Christmas and New Year's, where it's just kind of like people can just do whatever they want, eat whatever they want.
Yeah, it's the Wild West.
Yeah, man. That, dude. It's almost like the Purge.
It is a little purgy. Yeah, gives you a little purge vibes,
it
right?
It does, man.
What's up with that?
Go out there and just manhandle someone just with your bare hands. But it's the time of year. You know what I mean? Just strangle someone.
I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah. You know what time of... It's between New Year's and Christmas.
God dang. Yeah. You have the details of what's going on in your head of them.
But anyways, yeah. So we'll be here.
We'll be here, man. We'll be here. Did you happen to hear about Bad Bunny being offered to get his name changed?
Like, to what?
Yeah, give me a second. Bad Bunny offered millions. I can't remember how many millions, but he was offered millions by Elon Musk, I think. I think might have been like a half-assed joke.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Bad Bunny offered millions to change his name to Good Bunny.
Oh, my God.
Dude, and it kind of got me going like... Would you change your name first and foremost? I mean,
if someone threw cash at me like that, hell yeah, you can call me whatever you want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Okay, I'll give you $10.
Okay.
Let's fine. Talk.
Tenner is a let's tenner. Talk.
No, okay, ten's fine. Ten's set. Pop over to Tim Hortons, you know. How much money would it take, do you think, to change your name? I mean, this goes on your everything, I guess, right?
I would say,
and obviously,
the starting bid is at 500K probably.
500, half a million.
Half a million, yeah.
For you to change your name.
Yeah.
I mean, I laugh, but at the same time, yeah, I'm not changing my whole name just for a couple bucks.
No.
Too. Yeah, I feel that. All right.
Because at least, I think with 500K, at least I would be able to like at least pay off my house, pay off all my owings and debts and all that stuff, you know? And then I'd be a head above water.
Yeah.
And then I can go back into the ocean again.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think
so. Go deep sea diving.
Are you
going to
leave your family? Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
You'll never see me again.
Okay. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. All right. Would it still be $500 million if I chose the name? Say I'm the one giving you the money? You can't change it to the name that you want. I give you the name.
Yeah, probably.
It still stays the same?
Yeah. I would probably.
All right, so I'm changing your name to like Louise, or
Louise?
Something. Yeah.
Like Louise.
Louise.
Or Louis.
No, Louise.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I could. Your name is Gretchen. Yeah, I changed. Like,
I could live with that.
You're cool with those?
Yeah. But if it was like McDumbface, then I would be like, I don't know.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
McDumbface.
Yeah,
I kind of like it.
That's actually not a bad one.
Like it. Yeah. Your name is McDumbface. What if I change your? What if I was like, listen, I'll give you 500 tau cash.
Yeah.
Your name is Hitler. Just Hitler.
Man. No.
Come on, man. Dude. Be a man. Be a man.
We might have to up to like 750K probably.
Yeah. Just add an extra 250 on
there. Yeah, man.
And then just eat that.
I could probably become like a feature on Kanye's tracks if I were to.
Oh, without
do
a
that,
doubt.
You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
He can probably feature on your album actually at that point.
True that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Come up with that new Hitler
so
track.
So I won't even be Adolf.
No.
The
your
first
single
thing
name
is Hitler.
Single name. That's okay. It.
All right.
I think go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to find someone.
Yeah.
I'm going to find someone. You'll find them in Winnipeg, but we'll find someone, dude. You hear about, like, the... there was a couple surprise guests at one of the WPW shows.
Yeah, there was some, like, pretty... Well, I wouldn't say, like, A-listers.
Somewhat, yeah, but somewhat relevant individuals there. The
McLovin was there.
McLovin, that's
which
his
was
name?
So random, like
really. And then one of the Blake from Workaholics was also there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so that was pretty cool. And then some other guys that we don't really.
One of the guys there was like the big chubby guy there, something Hauser or something.
Yeah, he's in movies.
Yeah, he's actually one of my I wouldn't say favorite movies, but a really good movie that I've watched probably within the past couple of years. It's called Richard Jewell, made by Clint Eastwood. It's about like the whole 96 Olympics bombing.
I think I actually saw that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good in that movie.
You know what's funny, man? You can give me all these mainstream movies, dude. Yeah. You'll be like, hey, did you see the new this? Did you see the that? I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
Richard Jewell, though.
Yeah.
I saw that crap. One.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good in it.
Yeah, he's good, man.
No, that's based on the true story and everything, right?
He kind of plays like he's kind of like almost kind of typecast a little bit into like playing kind of like the chubby redneck, you know,
he
slow,
like
slow kind of character.
Looks it. It's his
and
look,
he, honestly, he's probably that's probably what he is, you know. But it's a good film, Richard Jewell, and then also himself that is actually like really into wrestling. It's like, it's
do you think that does something to his casting?
I would say probably yeah. Like I would like
just them knowing that you're a fan or something. But he puts it out though. You know what I mean? It's not like he's just some guy that's like, yeah, I watch wrestling, but I don't talk about it. He's like, no, I'm a big wrestling fan. And
it would probably be like, because I mean, we're talking about like Babylon and all kind of stuff. But like, there's like a beast to being in Hollywood and all that. And sometimes people just aren't involved with it.
Yeah,
and maybe he is. Maybe he's like full on the 33rd level degree Mason of Hollywood. But
you also hear about people falling out if they're not like part of the machine.
Yeah,
if they decline things.
Yeah, yeah.
Things. Parties, ideologies, stuff like that. Then you're not really casted as much when you're going to your auditions and such.
Yeah. I think this guy, like, he actually won awards for that role of Richard Jewell.
I think so, yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
I actually heard him in an interview say that he might be, I think it was with Chris Van Vliet, that he at one point or maybe now on and off he's talked about being in a biopic as Mick Foley.
Oh really?
And well, you kind of look at the guy.
Yeah.
And I think he would be able to pull something like that off
actually. Yeah, I mean like he would have to like bulk up a little bit more.
Yes.
Because like Mick Foley of course is like a, you know, heavier set guy, but at the end of the day he's actually like pretty, like in his prime he was like pretty jacked.
True,
like,
that,
you know, like in shape.
He has one of those like big body, but like he has like thinner arms and thinner legs type of feel. And that the guy that you're talking about, this Paul something Heiser or whatever his name
is. Yeah.
He's kind of like, you know, kind of big all around. You know?
Exactly.
Not overly big, but just kind of like his arms match his body and his legs. So
I would be like, that would be interesting to see, man, if you were to do something like that with playing Mick Foley.
It's got to be done right.
What if he played like Lex Luger though?
Yo, dude, that is something no one wants to see.
John Cena retiring, man.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
You
got 6 minutes. Let's take 4 minutes and talk about it.
It's interesting, like the type of like retirement tour that John Cena has got. Because I'm not sure if like this is kind of thing that's ever happened before in wrestling, where like a wrestler's like, yeah, I'm leaving within 12 months, you know, and then let's have like this parade tour of me leaving.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to think of like wrestlers have said, yeah, like, I'm having my retirement match, you know, but they never actually retire.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Ric Flair is like, you know, one of the biggest ones that to do that.
Or they don't give a timeline either.
Yeah. And they don't say like, I'm going to be leaving. And he's not necessarily like out of his like wrestling age either.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, people older than John Cena have continued to wrestle way into like their 60s and damn near 70s, you know?
Yeah, he might be the age right now that Ric Flair was when he fought Michaels at Mania or something.
Yeah, probably,
or
man.
Might even be younger.
So it's just, it's interesting that John Cena is getting this farewell tour. And not to say that I'm against it or anything, but it's just, it's like, you go through all this and say John Cena comes back and has another match and it's like, all this kind of gets thrown out the window,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Because like, Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Undertaker all had that, you know, that was it a triple threat or was it a tag team match?
I think it was a tag
In Saudi Arabia, the one that was like completely horrible.
That was a tag team match.
Yeah, I think it was.
That was a tag team match.
Yeah,
it was Michaels and him versus him and someone else. Dang, I can't remember.
Yeah,
There was also that time there was the Hell in a Cell match when Michaels was the referee.
Yeah, that's right. And that one was horrible too.
Yeah.
But it's just like, because like you could say, I'm never wrestling again, as John Cena saying. But it's like, well, once those Saudis throw that, give you that check with it, you know, is blank, and you can put whatever you want on it, then you're going to be coming out of there putting on the jorts again.
That's true.
You know,
be making more than Peacemaker music. Cash. You know
exactly,
I mean?
Man. So it's like, it seems weird to like just put a stamp and say I'm done now.
Yeah.
Because we've never seen that in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, where people have just retired and that's it. You know, I mean, there's different cases of that with like Triple H, where he's in an executive role now. Yeah. But, like, never say never with these guys.
That's true.
That's just the business.
And we thought Michaels was done until Saudi.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I would never say never on him coming and wrestling again.
Oh, he's done. He's done.
You know?
Well, even here every year around WrestleMania time, you always hear about, like, Austin.
Yeah.
It's just like, just do it already. He's getting so old.
Oh, but, man, like, when he wrestled Kevin Owens, I was so, like, down on that because, like, his last match should have been against The Rock. At WrestleMania 19.
Cool. Yeah, know? Absolutely.
But like then you see him wrestle, and it wasn't necessarily a wrestling match because it was just like a scrap between him and Kevin
it's
Owens.
It's like non-sanctioned.
Yeah. But it's just like, oh, you could see Austin, he's not, your heroes are getting older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have that same stamina and explosiveness that he normally would have. But Cena going out as like a top dog, almost kind of like a Megatron type of thing, Kelvin Johnson.
Sure.
Because even in this run he had, it's not like he had terrible matches. He actually probably had like his best matches in his career, like against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, and then also AJ Styles.
Yeah, true that.
You know, like he had like, those are amazing matches, man. You know? And so for him to go like on top like this, it's just interesting, man. Like for him to just, maybe he just doesn't want to do the grind anymore.
Yeah, and I don't blame him, to be honest. Especially if he's making stuff now that's going to keep him, you know, busy for a long time.
Yeah.
I have no reason to believe him about it being his last one, but for whatever reason, I do believe it. So, farewell to Mr. John Cena, and it's been a hell of a ride for us that have been watching him. Michael Cole made a call yesterday. He was like, professional wrestling has defeated sports entertainment.
I seen that, yeah, that's right.
And I was like, interesting. I guess we'll see how that goes in the future.
Is he like a Mount Rushmore guy for you?
No, not for me personally.
Yeah, me neither.
His matches aren't there for me.
Yeah.
Him as a character, you know, maybe we can make a discussion about it, but his matches don't entertain me quite like other people. So.
Yeah.
End of the day, farewell.
Yep.
And farewell to everyone that's listening. I want to thank everyone for
listening,
sticking around with us for the last couple hours.
And not calling us.
Thank you. stick around. Neon Beige coming up next. Until then, happy holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Stay warm and be good.
Yeah.
I guess.
Say hi to your, be good to your moms and daughters too. So
yes,
the show was for your mothers and daughters. Yes. All of them. Trust
all
me.
Of them.
Say hi to your mother for me.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
I was feeling pretty good for la 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 la, taking my time on the la 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 la. Snow falling down in the la 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 la. Everybody singing like la 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 la.